Vaccines aren't very helpful if patients don't receive them. To help illustrate some of the barriers to vaccination, we have another patient story. Actually, eight patients. Lisa and Matt are raising their eight children in Portland, Oregon.
Mama! Large families are a lot of work, and they take a lot of coordination. It's not as bad as people speculate it would be, simply because we draw on the older kids for help and each other.
We have eight children. Their names are Andrew, Charity, Hannah, Sarah, Rachel, Rebecca, Abigail, and Elijah. When our children were younger, I did the normal immunize your kids. This is what's required. This is what is needed, so just do it. When our fourth child came along, my mom had sent me a lot of information about immunizations and just some concerns that she had. She was very worried about them, that we were putting diseases into the kids or the effects that it could have on them. Also the fear they might contract that disease. I didn't want to put bad things into their body or make them sick for the rest of their life. So we stopped immunizing.
So Sarah, what kind of homework do you have today?
We were homeschooling our children when they were younger, and so we weren't really around like a lot of kids in the public school. And so I felt like it was okay not to immunize.
When we moved up here to Oregon, we didn't want to neglect their education because of our busy schedule, so we ended up putting them in public schools.
And I noticed our kids started getting sicker and sicker. They were home all the time and picking up every cold. Being around more children who were sick, I felt like it was better for them to have the immunizations than to not have them.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Here to check in for our appointment?
When I first met Lisa, most of the kids were completely unvaccinated. And it was around that time that one of the children developed chickenpox. And so we started talking about what are the different options for preventing things like this, and it really opened her eyes to what the whole prevention concept was.
You guys all ready? Rachel, can I?
Questioning vaccines. Is every parent's right? Nowadays, there's so much information out there, parents don't know what to believe. When you hear that a vaccine causes harm, it's hard for the parent to judge the reliability of that information. And so it's really our job as the physician to be experts in vaccines, to be able to answer the questions. When parents raise concerns about vaccines, the most important thing to do for us as the physician is to be patient, to make sure that we understand their questions and that we answer them, because we have good answers. The vaccines are safer than not vaccinating. Fortunately, we have the science to show that those concerns are mostly unfounded.
Hi. Hey, Rachel, it's your turn.
What shot is she getting today?
She's getting her last tetanus.
Some of the barriers that we face in immunizing our children is definitely time. It takes a lot of time out of our schedule to immunize them, and then they don't feel very great for the next couple days.
As the schedule has become more and more complex, it's harder for parents to keep track. So we need to do a better job of communicating with them. When is the next time they need to come in and remind them and get them back in?
Okay, you were very brave.
Having a large family makes it to where every dollar has to count even more. And immunizations, they do cost. They cost different amounts, but they do cost money. So when you have eight children and you have to get multiple shots and multiple rounds for each one of them, that's a budget item.
Every parent wishes that their kids are strong and healthy and, you know, can run around and play and not be sick. Now that we are catching up on our immunizations, I still have mixed feelings. I overall have a very happy feeling to know that our kids will be a little more protected. I also have a struggle, a little bit of fear within me still, but I know it's going to be fine. Good job.
We heard a very important message in that piece, and that is that some parents have some real concerns about the safety of the vaccines that we're talking about putting into their children. And we as healthcare providers and the entire healthcare community really have to listen to what parents are saying about that. We're very comfortable with dealing with the data. We've been looking at studies all of our careers of education and training, and so we're very comfortable with assimilating this data and making some decisions and assumptions and determinations based on it. But the average parent isn't, and so it's critically important for healthcare providers to hear what parents are saying their concerns are about it, and taking that time to really address those concerns. In the absence of that interaction with their healthcare provider, are certainly much more likely, perhaps, to listen to the messages they get from friends or friends of friends who may have heard of a bad experience of someone's child, or some popular media information that may raise some question about vaccines. And they're presented that on a much more regular basis than they may be that counter information and factual information and scientific-based information that they can get from the healthcare provider. It can go a long way having those kinds of conversations with one's patients.
A lot of individuals read the press and read things that are sensational, read about a potential side effect that someone had that was devastating. We all know that everything we do, even taking an aspirin, caused potential problems, but the good outweighs the bad. And in the case of these vaccines, it appears that the good certainly outweighs the potential harm, realizing there can be harm, but the good outweighs it.
One of the things that we're working on at CDC is actually a provider toolkit to help provide materials that patients could download at home before they even came into the office, or providers could share with their patients, they could read in the waiting room, so that maybe some of the information can be conveyed and help the provider make the best use of that limited amount of time they have for that conversation, so that it'll be a little easier to have it with parents. This is a really tough issue, but I agree with the point that it's a trusted healthcare provider that parents really want to hear from, and someone who knows their child, someone they trust, who is making a recommendation in the best interest of their child.
Are there other general safety concerns physicians should know about?
One issue that seems to be an increasing concern is that with the increased number of immunizations that are part of the childhood vaccine schedule, that at a particular visit or within a particular period of time, children are getting many more vaccines than they had in the past. The fact of the matter is that with increased technology and improved vaccine development, that the actual amount of antigen, or the substance that causes our immune system to respond, is much less now, even though the number of vaccines is much more than in the past.
For specific vaccines, such as influenza vaccine, the question of relationship to Guillain-Barré syndrome has been raised, and it appears that perhaps one out of a million individuals given the vaccine will get Guillain-Barré syndrome. Whether or not it's related to the vaccine, it may be, but it's a very, very low incidence, certainly not enough to not give the vaccine. With the HPV vaccine, the major complaints or side effects have been, since the vaccine was given in young teenage girls, was pain at the injection site, and a few people were reported as having syncopal episodes, which may have been related to the fact that they were just given an injection and not particularly the vaccine.
Well, as you've said before, that broad coverage is absolutely key in regards to vaccines and controlling the spread of disease. But we do know that there are still many people who don't get all the recommended vaccinations, or people who don't get the vaccinations in the recommended timely fashion. What would you say are the most important barriers to timely vaccination in children in particular? Let's start there.
You can only do so much in one visit, particularly in busy provider practice. And so it means that and schedule a set around return visits to your doctor's office or healthcare provider's office. And that can be taxing on families in today's world, where often two parents are working, and it becomes a logistic challenge. And so that can cause missed visits, so missed opportunities for immunization and delay as well.
Can't forget the fact that dollars and cents enter into this, because some of the more expensive vaccines cause a problem in being paid for by the individuals.
And I think that the same issues that we can talk about in a broader discussion of the reasons that we have disparities in health care in this country are the same reasons that contribute to decreases or disparities in vaccine access to health care providers. Whether you are challenged with access because of insurance or lack of insurance and coverage issues, or whether you're challenged with access because of geography. If you live in a rural community and the closest provider is 40 miles away, that I learned in Pennsylvania, which is largely an agricultural state, that to travel those 40 miles to a healthcare provider, certainly during harvest time, means that you miss a critical day of harvest. And so decisions have to be made about a family's ability to stay together from a financial perspective and to get something like to get the health care that they need. And so people are often in a very difficult situation and having to make some very difficult choices about accessing health care.
At least for children up through age 18 whose families don't have insurance, or they're on Medicaid, or they're Native American or Alaskan Native, those children are eligible for a federal program called the Vaccines for Children program that provides federally purchased vaccine to both participating private providers and public health departments to vaccinate children who are eligible for the program.
What are the dangers of non-vaccination?
Well, certainly the danger to the individual are that they can actually get that disease that is vaccine preventable and can also get some of the severe sequelae and complications that may go along with that. The risk to the broader community is that then there is an opportunity for spread of that vaccine preventable disease. The more individuals in a community that are not vaccinated, the more opportunity a vaccine preventable disease has to spread among that population.
If someone is in a group setting, for example, a nursing home, and you have a case of influenza, it can go through the nursing home with all sorts of secondary problems, eventually causing hospitalization for many of those individuals, morbidity, perhaps mortality for those people, and an inordinate amount of expense. So you're quite correct. You're talking about the individual, you're talking about the people that they are in contact with.
What can physicians do to help overcome these barriers? Are there practical ways to help patients obtain the vaccinations they need?
Sure. I think that a physician's relationship with their patient is one of the most important communication tools as well as healthcare delivery tools that we have at our disposal. People tend to trust their healthcare provider. People tend to listen to their healthcare provider, and a well-informed provider can go a long way in terms of helping patients to understand the need and access the vaccines that they need.
Is the way a physician's office run a determinant of sorts? Can it have an effect? What should health systems be doing?
Well, there are a number of tools that go beyond just the individual practitioner's ability to deliver a message. As practices get larger and busier, as healthcare delivery systems get more complex, then there need to be tools put into place that help to improve the flow, improve the administrative aspects of that system. You hear a lot today about electronic health records. Electronic health records have a lot of positive implications for vaccines and vaccine reminders and helping improve vaccine coverage rates so that a particular visit, it can be triggered to notify a care provider that at a particular visit, these are the specific things that need to be done. And so some systems don't even let a provider close out that visit until those things are in fact delivered to the patient or explained why they weren't. And so there are some external tools like that. Other practice administration and flow type of methods to help practices operate more smoothly, to help with scheduling, to help with reminders to patients that you've missed a vaccine or you have an appointment coming up, or if they do miss it, a reminder recall type system that says, hey, something was missed here, we need to get that patient back in, and notifying the patient as well. So there are a number of tools that exist that can be helpful, and connecting those types of tools to the practices is one very clear way to help improve our opportunity to vaccinate children and adults.
And of course, the schedule is very complex. There's new vaccines added all the time, and children don't necessarily stay at a single provider. So at the population level, immunization registries are a piece of the puzzle. Ideally, the child's medical history would be in an electronic medical record at their primary care provider, and then that electronic medical record could talk to the state's immunization registry. So if that child were to show up, you know, be on a trip and get sick and be in another city, whoever ends up taking care of that child could access that immunization information.
I think this is multi-pronged. I think you're talking about children, which is obviously extraordinarily important, but as you get older, there are other providers besides the pediatric practices or the primary care family practices that are seeing children. There'll be older individuals who are requiring these vaccines. Groups like the American College of Physicians, which promotes now to a significant degree adult vaccination. Groups like the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, which educates the public about vaccination. So it's multi-pronged, and it depends upon ages, it depends on the population, it depends on locales, regional, statewide, national. It depends on lots of factors.
This has been a thorough summary of immunizations in children, adolescents, adults. If there's just one message that you could leave with our viewers, what would that be?
When healthcare providers think about vaccination, they need to remember the issues about getting themselves vaccinated as well. It really is a patient safety issue. Healthcare providers need to remember that they can protect their patients by getting themselves vaccinated.
The relationship between a patient and the doctor is perhaps the most important factor in helping to make good decisions about vaccine coverage. Explaining the risks, explaining the benefits, and making a joint decision to improve coverage is what we have to do as healthcare providers.
The development of vaccines, we've shown and people know, have prevented countless number of deaths. We've come a long way. And there are many more things that need to be done. At the current time, studies are being undertaken for vaccines that could protect against the most common causes of death worldwide. And this will really revolutionize the way we approach people in trying to prevent disease.
Thank you all for participating in this important conversation today. And we'd also like to thank you, our viewers, and we hope that today's program has given you some helpful tips on how to meet current recommendations regarding vaccinations and how to help your patients stay up to date with the preventive care they need. Also, we encourage each of you to go to your computer, log on to discoveryhealthcme.com, and take the post-test. It only takes a few minutes to earn free credit for this program. And if you'd like to see the program again, you can watch it online, download a podcast, or order a DVD. The graphics and references from the program are also available online. Finally, we'd like to thank the University of Virginia School of Medicine for accrediting the program. And we'd also like to thank GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, and Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics Incorporated for the educational grants that made this program possible. I'm Rhea Blakey for Discovery Health CME. Have a nice day.